this truth of a head. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob Kenyard Live.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Kenyard, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. A program note, next Monday through Thursday, we will interview Dr. Walt Brown about creation and evolution and a global flood. That'll be during the week, but then on Friday, I will take your calls, comments, and questions on those topics. So during the week, jot down your thoughts. And then the following week, we will do interviews with Holocaust survivors, Martin and Doris Small, the most extraordinary stories of survival through utterly devastating circumstances. But for now, I'd like to talk about a new book that asks such an interesting question. The title of the book, it's on Amazon.com. The title of the book is Escape from the Happy Cannibal. Now, what does that mean, Escape from the Happy Cannibal? When Ron Miller decided to exchange his life of comfort and security for an extended global journey, he never imagined the cultural trials he would face or the spiritual lessons he would learn. Now, the author, Ron Miller, he was an engineer, a homeowner. He traded all that in for a backpack and eventually traveled over six continents for 3 years to nearly 100 countries. And he had all these experiences, but he asked himself this question. If I had been born into a society of cannibals, would I question that society's behaviors and values, or would I simply be a happy cannibal? What an interesting question. And so Ron Miller searched the entire world for the guidance that supersedes our culture. And he says he found that guidance. So Ron Miller, welcome to Bob Kenyard Live.
Well, hello, Bob, and let's do this correctly. Merry Winter Holiday.
Merry Winter Holiday. Because we can't say Merry Christmas.
Or, you know, you can't even say Happy New Year anymore because, you know, there are some cultures here in the world that they go adhere to different calendars. So, you've got to be sensitive to that as well.
That's right, in the fall or whenever. So, okay. Hey, Ron, before we talk about the heart of the book, where to find the guidance that supersedes culture, could you tell us about some of your experiences? I've only been to a handful of the countries you've gone to. You know, you had an experience in Turkey. We were in Turkey, Greece, Israel, and New Zealand. But tell us some of the highlights of your travels.
Okay, well, what I always tell folks, the greatest impact upon me was my travel to Ukraine. And a lot of people will say, Ukraine, you know, why is that? Well, my grandparents left Ukraine. They were somewhat forced out back in the late 20s under the rule of Stalin. And I was the very first relative born outside of Ukraine to travel back, and I went back in 1991, and as you can imagine, it was still within the Soviet Union, Ukraine was, behind the Iron Curtain, and I arrived on their doorstep completely unannounced.
Oh, wow.
And I had some reservations because I thought, well, they might shun me because...
Well, you didn't call ahead, for one thing.
Yeah, I didn't. I mean, completely unannounced on their doorstep, but they... We're definitely exposed to a lot of anti-American propaganda. This was the Cold War, and it was a life-changing experience. As you can imagine, family, humanity can trump ideology, and that was a valuable lesson for me. It was just a remarkable experience.
By the way, to let you know, one of the dear friends of this program, in fact, Brian and Lisa Rohrbaugh, they traveled to the Ukraine a couple years ago and adopted two beautiful children. And they're, in fact, Brian Rohrbaugh often co-hosts or sometimes guest hosts this program. So they have fond memories of going there. So that's where your travels began, and you went around the world more than once.
Yeah, the first trip I went around the world, and I started out a bit like a tourist, but eventually became more of a traveler, wanting to learn about the local cultures and meet the local people and you know, gain some understanding from the locals. And my second trip was through the Americas, and each of these trips about a year long. And then the third one, I ventured into areas that I really never thought I would travel, sub-Saharan Africa you know, the way I like to travel, I did some hitchhiking when I thought it was safe enough, and always trying to travel with the locals. And, you know, I feared machine guns and civil unrest, but I found that the world was not quite as dangerous as my imagination made it out to be. Mm-hmm. And the benefits for traveling into those countries, those parts of the world that were so different, where the rewards were much greater. So yeah. I gradually migrated into the more dangerous areas, mm-hmm. and I think learned a lot more.
Yeah, we traveled to Turkey after the beginning of the Iraq War, and there was quite a bit of hostility against Americans at that time, but we got through it and actually had a great time talking and sharing the gospel with a number of people in Turkey. And going to Israel, even today, we've gone repeatedly. And during the last intifada in the old city, Jerusalem, and going to Bethlehem. And it's a bit tense, but you can talk to people and you can even talk about serious matters like religion and politics, the two most important things to talk about, even in a somewhat hostile world. But of course, there are risks.
Right. And my experience with most of my travels being prior to 9/11 is that as an American, you know, I didn't feel a lot of resentment, and there wasn't really any hatred directed toward me. And, you know, I sensed a lot of times people, there would be some admiration because I was an American.
Mm-hmm.
And but I understand how that can be abused. The Americans are the big guys on the block, and, you know, these countries that are impoverished, they can scapegoat their own problems by blaming the United States, for instance.
Right, sure. Okay, so, Ron, now before we get into the more serious matters, you went to find out if you'd grow up as a happy cannibal, but are there any other stories you'd like to tell us, colorful stories of your journeys? By the way, our associate producer read through the book,
yes.
And I have read through excerpts of it, and I have a few questions for you, but do you have a couple other highlights you'd like to mention first?
Well, we'll mention my first greeting there in Ukraine. It's quite humorous because, as I mentioned before, I had some reservations and I didn't know what to expect, and I was fully prepared to be shunned and, you know, Yankee go home, Yankee imperialist go home. But also, if you can imagine, my relatives under Stalin, my relatives lived under Stalin and the Great Terror, where people were executed just to instill fear and maintain control over that society. And my relative, when I first arrived on their doorstep, I was so fortunate to have met someone to interpret, and he's explaining who I am. And I can see right away my relative is a bit fearful, thinking this is some kind of setup, you know, the secret police or the KGB. But I did have a small photograph he had sent to a relative here in North America.
Oh.
And when I showed him that, his reservations, his fear went away right away. So here we are standing facing each other, and, you know, that moment of uncertainty that I had expected and anticipated, and I'm thinking to myself, should I reach out and to shake his hand, or, you know, how should I greet him? But we were all standing there with smiles, and, you know, the situation was overwhelming all of us. But then in a Ukrainian old country greeting, he reaches out to me, gives me a bear hug, and plants this noisy sucking kiss square on my lips.
Oh, no.
You know, man, I was prepared for everything except that.
Yeah, I guess so. Wow, what a trip. And, you know, people in America, we tend to forget, especially those of us who went to public school. But the Soviets growing up under Stalin, I mean, I think it's a reasonably conservative estimate that he murdered about 20 million people.
Yes.
Under his form of godless, atheistic, Darwinist socialism.
And when I traveled, I was exposed to so much history. It's right there. It's living in the people. And I would also find bits of history that I thought, well, why didn't I know about this before? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that it should be common knowledge, and that's the kind of history that I share in the book. And just as you're speaking about, just really how evil was communism there in the Soviet Union. And as I said, they actually had quotas that they would send out to the different regions, and saying that you have to send so many people to the gulags and so many people you have to execute. It wasn't even warranted based on that they were anti-communist, but to instill fear. And it's really inconceivable the kind of evil that existed in that part of the world.
Yeah, I had the opportunity to read Solzhenitsyn's Gulag Archipelago, and he spoke of those at length, of those quotas, and they would have to fill up prisons and work camps, and they would give people 10-year sentences for absolutely nothing, just to fill a quota. And the work camps were so severe that people died in them by the hundreds of thousands per year. And they would do things like, first they would arrest all pastors of every church, even though they had outlawed the churches. If you had been a minister or a priest, you get arrested. Then they arrested all choir directors, but that wasn't enough. Then they arrested all members of any choirs of any churches if they had records. And they would go like that in waves through the Soviet Union.
Yeah, it was definitely an anti-God system. And a lot of people think, well, they went to the gulags, that's not so bad. But you only had a 10% chance of surviving a 10-year sentence in the Soviet gulag.
Yeah, that's a good point. And, you know, a difference between even as wicked as some of the Crusades were, when you compare that to the godless, atheistic, Darwinist, socialist governments of the last century that slaughtered people by the tens of millions.
Yes.
One thing with the Christian worldview, even if it's perverse, is that if you're going to execute someone, they need to be found guilty of a capital crime. You can't just execute people in mass for some social reason. And of course, under evolution, the survival of the fittest, the strongest, you could just kill the weaker organisms to eat their resources, like a cannibal, to take advantage of their resources. And so that's what communists did, and socialists, from Germany to the Soviet Union, Russia to China, and elsewhere.
Yeah, Cambodia. The Soviet Union, communism in general, puts supreme value in some imagined utopia rather than the people that it's meant for. It's kind of ironic when you look at it that way.
All right, now we're speaking with Ron Miller, author of Escape from the Happy Cannibal. Ron, we'll take a break. When we come back, I'd like to ask you that question. You said, if I grew up as a cannibal, would I just be a happy cannibal, or would I find the guidance that supersedes the culture? I'd like to ask you if you found that guidance, and I'll test you here on Bob and Yurt Live. We'll see if you found it or not.
Great.
We'll be right back.
You know, I think I've heard about you going to like Turkey or Greece or Israel on a trip. Why, you know, go to Mogadishu or Tora Bora or Bosnia or Rwanda. Go to places like that. You know, isn't God powerful enough to like protect you there and like witness there and that kind of stuff? Get some converts there. Go there. Take a trip there. If you say no, then I think that just shows it's all a bunch of us anyways. So respond to that.
Sorry you're having trouble. Please try again later. Goodbye.
It's January and a new year. We can help you make some great New Year's resolutions. I'd like to grow more this year in my knowledge of Scripture. I'd like to be more well prepared to talk to others about eternity. I'd like to become more mature as a believer. Would it please you to achieve these goals this year? If so, please consider letting us help you. At Bob and Yurt Live, we've assembled really great teaching resources for you to grow in your Bible knowledge and to grow as a Christian and to develop personally. I'd like to recommend a subscription to one of our monthly resources. If you subscribe during this month of January, as a gift, right away, we'll send you an extra month's fulfillment. If you subscribe to our monthly Bible study albums, we'll send you two albums for the first month to get you on your way. If you subscribe to our monthly sermons, we'll send you 2 months' worth of sermons. If you subscribe to our monthly videos, we'll send you an extra DVD. Either call us or subscribe online. You can call us at 800-8-N-YARD. That's 800-836-9278. 836-9278. Or go online to kgov.com. That's kgov.com. Just click on the store and then subscriptions. You can be more prepared to influence others for good, including your own family, coworkers, and friends. If you let us help you achieve these goals, you will also be helping us to stay on the air and to continue to reach more people. So again, to subscribe to our study albums, sermons, or BEL videos, please go to our store at kgov.com or call us at 800-836-9278. We're back. You're listening to Bob and Yart Live, and I have a question for the author of Escape from the Happy Cannibal. His name is Ron Miller. So, Ron, what would you say is the guidance that supersedes culture so that we could know if I should be a cannibal or if I should be something else?
Well, let me start by saying when I began the journey, I was agnostic. I was very honest when people asked me, well, what are your religious beliefs? And I said, well, I don't have any. But I noticed that when I was 29 years old, I started to begin to look at the world more from an eternal perspective and looking for some meaning to life. And what I noticed is that culture has a tremendous influence on human beings individually and collectively,
right,
entire societies.
Right.
But, you know, I wanted to be more than just a product of culture. And I didn't realize until after 3.5 years of travel why I was traveling so long. But I was looking for that guidance that should supersede culture. And what I found in traveling to so many countries, so many different cultures, so many different religious pilgrimage sites and so forth, well, it's not out there. And that gave me the confidence then to look within myself and take that spiritual journey, which I believe the Bible is there to point us to, that relationship with God that Adam lost. That's what I was seeking, and that's what I found.
Now, Ron, I grew up in a culture back in New Jersey, Catholic, went to 8 years Catholic grammar school, and I was taught in school that evolution, that we've evolved, and that the stories in the Bible were myths like the Greek myths.
Yes.
So when I finally came to the Lord after my 8 years of grammar school, went to high school, a ministry called Campus Life, I got involved with that and became a Christian. And so I came out of what I had been my earliest years in training, a belief in evolution and that the Bible was mostly fiction, to believe that the Bible was the Word of God and that God created us specially. So, and then ever since, it's been since 1973, 33 years, I've been studying the Bible, and I'm thankful you just mentioned the Bible. But I do have a question for you. I was a bit concerned going through the Bible. I remember years ago I used to study cults, and one of the cults that I had studied was the Foundation of Human Understanding, Roy Masters.
Yes.
And in your book, you talk about going to one of his events in Oregon, and really you speak as admiring as could be about Roy Masters. And I wondered, have you become a sort of disciple? Do you believe in the teachings of Roy Masters?
Well, after my first year of traveling, I came back and my mind was more receptive to sort of that inward journey. And when I listened to Roy on the radio, he was making some good points that they weren't building me up. They were incriminating, is not the right word, but they were truths that I knew were my fault of my own. And I recognized those. And, you know, instead of being egotistical and always wanting to be right, I wanted to know my faults. Mm-hmm. So he was instrumental in pointing me to my own faults, and leading me to that inward journey to where we all find God. As I believe it's Ralph Waldo Emerson said quite well, that God enters by private door into every man. And that's what I found. And I add to that by that private door to God is opened with the key of humility.
All right. Now, the things that you're saying could certainly be very comfortable and accepted in a Christian context, but I'm wondering, it could also be very subtle, as what Roy Masters did. He combined Eastern mysticism and meditation techniques with the Christian jargon, and basically said you need to depend on meditation and search within yourself to find God. And so what was presented as Christian really was more Eastern mysticism, just with some Christian words attached. So I'm wondering if how far down that path you've gone. One question I could ask you is that Masters denied the deity of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
What is your position on his teaching on that?
Well, that's a very good point, because I know that was something that was controversial with Roy Masters when I first heard of him, and you know, you see the controversial things and so forth. But I don't know what was said in the past, but the only thing I did recently is I went to his statement on his website in preparation for programs like this, because I figured this question might come up.
Yeah.
And boy, when I read that, I don't know if you've read that recently, Bob, but he talks about Christianity. I know you very well, and I know your teachings, and I do not think there's anything there that you would agree with. Now, as far as the...
That I would disagree with.
Yeah, I really don't think so as to what is said on his website. And, you know, I met him. I don't know the man, but I can say that he helped me on the path to finding God. There's no question about that, as well as some other people in my life, Christians that were instrumental. But as far as...
Ron, and, you know, when I was young, before I came to the Lord, I saw the play... Jesus Christ Superstar, and I was maybe 13 years old, and I got the album, and I listened to it probably 30 times, and that album is really blasphemous, but I didn't recognize that aspect of it. I sort of ignored that part of it, and it did get me to focus on God, and then eventually I turned to his word, and people shared the gospel, and I responded. So the fact that God can use different people and organizations to lead others to him, that I agree with. Mm-hmm. But could you answer that question? What is your take on Roy Masters' teaching that Jesus is not God?
Well, let me tell you my own personal journey, and just keep Roy Masters out of it, because, you know, I'm hoping that I have an experience to share and to help others. And the people that I see that I can help are non-believers and believers. The non-believers in terms of the fact that a lot of people have met hypocritical Christians.
Oh, yeah.
As I have as well. And, you know, I believe that one of our most valuable traits is a judicious sense of what not to believe. And, you know, I think I was very blessed, because when I met those hypocrites, I recognized that it just didn't seem true. It seemed egotistical instead of a humbling type of spirit to get to God. But
well, what do you think of my question, though?
Well, what does Roy Masters say? I don't know.
No, what is your position? He said, I have a quote here from him verbatim. He states that, quote, "One of the biggest curses in Christendom is the false idea that Jesus is God."
Yes.
That's pretty blunt.
Yes.
So what is your position on his teaching on that?
Well, I believe that Christ is the Messiah. And as far as the Trinity, what I know is that my connection to God is within me. And it's, you know, there are a lot of impulses and direction that's within our being, but there is what I call that calm, wordless voice that's before emotions. Mm-hmm. Not without emotions, but that's what I learned to sit still and let my conscience catch up with me. Previously, the Bible it sounded nice words on the page. I'd read about Christ. I hear people talk about Christ, and it sounded like a historical figure that was admirable. He wanted to help people. But then, all of a sudden, the words came alive, and it...
Well, Ron, remember Jesus said that many will say, "Lord, Lord," and I will say, "Depart from me, I never knew you."
Yes.
And he said, "Unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins." He said, "Before Abraham was, I am." You know, you tell a story on page 163 about Roy that, I don't know if you've noticed this in a human trait, but I've noticed
it. Well, I believe that he is. He says, I am, and I believe he is. My faith is in Christ.
Yeah, but not that he is God, the Creator.
I believe that I can't know exactly if Christ is, well, he's not God the Father. He's no. God the Son, and I have faith in God the Son and God the Father, and I believe that Christ is the Messiah.
Yeah, but you don't believe that he is God, our Creator. The Christian teaching is that God exists three persons in one God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And so Roy Masters rejected that, and instead he took Eastern mysticism and put some Christian jargon in it and led a lot of people astray. And you have a story in your book on page 163 that sometimes humans, when they want folks to like them or like someone else, they'll tell a bad story about that person.
Yes.
But they'll tell it in a way that they want people to approve of it. And you do that with a story with Roy Masters. There was a woman, you say, who worked at his ranch for a couple months.
Yes.
And she came up and she told this emotional testimony of sexual immorality. And then Roy asked her a question whether or not she had sexual feelings toward him.
Yes.
He's the leader of this group, Foundation of Human Understanding. And she immediately replies with a confident yes. And you say, wow, I didn't see that question coming or that answer.
Right.
And you ended up saying that she trusts Roy more than her own father and that he's strong enough not to abuse that trust.
Yes.
I view that as a very destructive story for a man, a leader of an organization, to ask a woman who's just confessed sexual immorality and an emotional difficulty to ask her, are you sexually attracted to me?
Yes.
That's an example of a cult leader. And you put that in your book as a reason for us to admire Roy Masters.
Well, you know, sexual attraction is a very complicated issue. And I liken that to how a lot of times women who have been abused by perhaps their father, their stepfather, then they will seek out a husband.
Right. Hey, Ron, could we continue this in a moment?
Yes.
We got to end the show, and then we could continue and air the conclusion tomorrow.
Yes, great.
Okay, that's great. I want to let listeners know, for first-time listeners or first-time callers, if you've never ordered anything from us, if you just call, we will give you a free Best of Bob CD. Just call us at 1-800-836-9278, 800-836-9278 to welcome you to the audience. We'll give you a free Best of Bob CD. Maranatha Christian Center. Wow, what a great school in Arvada, Colorado. Check them out. Maranatha. May God bless you all.